I am sheer drive and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with instant illumination. I am sheer drive, maximum drive, and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. A lot of people accomplish great things in their life, and they accomplish great things in their life not because they're talented, not because they're educated, not because they have a silver spoon in their mouth when their daddy or mommy has a lot of money, but because they have sheer drive and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. Myself as a youngster, my dad was a builder, and I couldn't go to work too early with him because, you know, he had to be strong enough. He had to be strong enough to carry brick and block and chip and things like that. He had us do that at home. He'd bring home a truckload of dirty, of used brick, you know, like Ingeborg was working on used brick over there with the mortar still on it. Well, this mortar would come off easier. And so us kids were paid a penny a brick, or was it a penny for 10 brick? But anyhow, it was a lot of money for every brick that we cleaned. But we had to clean it good. And if we broke the brick, then we lost a half a cent. And so we had to be careful, because, you know, you could be careless, you know, you could slam bang them and hope they'd fall apart. And then they...
Do it quickly.
And so we had to do it cautiously. Well, my sisters and I were the hard workers there. My older brother wasn't around. My younger brother was too young to care, you know. But we did. We wanted those pennies, because those pennies let us go to the penny store and buy plenty of candy. And that was wonderful. But with our sheer drive and self-discipline, we achieved unimaginable goals. I don't ever remember my older brother or younger brother asking for our pennies. They never did that, and I thought that was awfully good. But I had a little notebook, a little black notebook, you know, about the size that you stick in your pocket. My dad used it for keeping time cards on and things like that back in the 30s. And so this little notebook had a lot of blank pages in it yet. And so I used it as my record. And I kept a record of my very valuable things. And my very valuable things were, you know, miscellaneous nothings, you know, marbles and what have you. And so then I'd go to school and I'd talk to my friends and I'd say, well, here's my list today. They say, oh, good. They'd look at it. I want that. I want that. I want, what are you going to give for it?
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't have money, so they would give some other object. And oftentimes that came out very nicely for me. And they came out very nicely for them because they got what they wanted and I got what I never dreamed I'd get. But my storehouse kept growing. Because wherever I'd go, I didn't care if I found it in the gutter or wherever, I'd pick it up and bring it home and clean it up and polish it up and put it on my display. And I was an entrepreneur from an early age on. And it wasn't big deal, but it was a big deal for me because I couldn't work for Pop yet, so I had to make my money somewhere else. I had an allowance, and I think the allowance was something like 5 cents a week or something like that. And I took care of the neighbor's, what was it, red dog. It was a beautiful, not a golden retriever, but a beautiful dog. And I would take him out for a walk every day. That was my job. And his name was Terry. And so Terry and I would walk around the blocks and down into the along the river bottom. And we just had a great time. And then my friends would join us, and we'd just play down there. And Terry got a very good walk. So it was good for Terry and good for us. And, of course, when we came home, Terry was all dirty. So then she gave me another penny if I had brushed Terry. And so I got 11 cents for taking Terry out for a walk and getting him dirty. But she didn't seem to mind, and I didn't mind either. But my friends helped me brush her, And they didn't get any of that penny because it was hard to divide up a penny, you know. But they did come in every now and then from my largesses. I would go to the store and come back with a bag full of candy or something, and we'd share it. But to be an entrepreneur, to be sheer drive, sheer drive doesn't mean that you work real hard. It means that you're doing something that you thoroughly enjoy. You thoroughly enjoy it. There's always ways to make money. I had a lady up the street whose daughter had committed suicide in her garage with her car. And so she had me drive her Packard out of her driveway, the garage, and put it in the street for her. And then when I'd come home from school, I would put it back in the garage for her every day. And she paid me 10 cents each time for doing that, which was very nice. I really, you know, had quite an income. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing. But you see, if you want to, you can always earn money. If you want to, you can always achieve things, even in depression times, even in the times when the money does not seem to be there. You can always do very well. Currently, Scandisk as a stock on the market. Earlier, before 2000 and so forth, 1998, 99, and 2000, Scandisk was doing all right. It was holding its own. And it is what, like Intel's disks and things like that, making 128 megabyte disk and stuff like that. So, but then when the break came on the stock market and everything went down, it had a tough time. But the owners of the company, they just smoothly went along, kept producing their product, kept making their things in a perfect normal way, and the market did its turn, its flip-flop after a number of months. And when the flip-flop came, Scandisk had enough stock ready to go to greet the upcoming market and hold its own. And Scandisk today is a very high-valued stock on the market. Now, it took imagination. It took sheer drive on the part of the president there not just to close down and say, I give up. But they didn't, and a lot of people didn't. A lot of people with self-discipline continued to be wonderful, not only entrepreneurs, but wonderful, successful businessmen. Now, I am sheer drive and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. We never know what our goal is going to be. We think our goal is one thing. Our goal is to be successful. Our goal is to enjoy life. Our goal is to do things that are fun and charming and things like that. And we don't even dream that that goal can be something far greater. We don't even dream that that goal can be something more imaginative than we ever thought possible. Now, you take, for instance, these two boys from Germany, and Theo and whatever the other fellow's name was. The mother and father had created a grocery store business, and the boys helped run the grocery store business. And then, as soon as the boys were old enough, after they'd come out of service, they said, let's expand it. And so they started having more grocery stores around town, because they knew the business. They knew how to stock and how to buy what was going to sell, not things that didn't sell. And so they had 600 stores. And next thing you know, the two boys said, okay, you go south, I'll go north, and we'll start more. Well, by the time they were done, they had 7,000 stores. Wow. 7,000 stores. And today, I think they're the ones that are in competition with Walmart, aren't they? They're doing just beautiful. They're doing just beautiful. Now, they've had their ups and downs in the process. One of the brothers was kidnapped for something like $3 million, and they paid it and got him off. But why was he kidnapped? Well, you would say, who would know that? Except the kidnappers who wanted some money. No, the brothers needed a little excitement in their life. They needed a little bit of a publicity that was on a different direction than just their stores. And so perhaps it was a real kidnapping and perhaps it wasn't. Most kidnappings where the person ends up alive, it wasn't really a kidnapping. Because most of the time they kill the person because the person can identify them and tell who they are. And they don't want that to be, which is kind of a silly thing. And so perhaps it was real, perhaps it was not. But in any event, they just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew until today they're giving Walmart a great shake for its money. I am sheer drive and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. Could you imagine those fellows when they were youngsters thinking that if within their lifetime they'd be billionaires? Within their lifetime, billionaires. Now, if they were billionaires at the time they were youngsters, wowie, they would really be rich. Because a millionaire in the time of the 30s and 40s was a responsible amount of money. But today, it's not unusual to buy a house for $1 million, you know? And it's not unusual for houses up here and a couple acres to sell for $250,000. That's not unusual at all. And so, like, that's four houses up here. And so it's amazing. And we have six houses. So what does that say about us? But
rich.
But these are beautiful things. This, I am sheer drive and self-discipline and achieve unimaginable goals. We achieve unimaginable goals because we have one goal here at the university. And that is to be ourselves and have fun. And in the process, share what we believe. And as we share what we believe, if somebody wants to hear us, super. If nobody wants to listen, super. Doesn't bother us. We can speak to audiences of infinite number of people, or we can speak to just one or two or even none. But like a lot of times in the beginning, we had you kids go out and give lectures and nobody came because you didn't have the right advertising and promotion. But you spoke to an empty house.
And that was the training, yeah.
But that was, and if you think you're so good for doing it, just remember Ernest Holmes did the same thing with Science of Mind. And Bill Hornaday, who filled Founders Church every Sunday twice with 7,000 in each service.
Nobody.
You know? And nobody came in his first service. In fact, at Hornaday's first service that he held separately, he held in a theater, and one person came in and sat down in the front row. And after the program was over, Hornaday said, "Well, thank you for coming." And the guy said, "I'm sorry." And then Hornaday said, "Aren't you leaving?" He said, "I'm the janitor. I got to close up the place." But you see, we shouldn't be so proud. We should just do this for ourselves. Do everything for ourselves. Hornaday died a very wealthy man. He lived a very wealthy man. He was even more wealthy because he loved what he was doing. And because he loved what he was doing, everybody else did too. They all enjoyed what his presentations were. And he's a remarkable fellow. I was privileged in knowing him a little bit, not quite as well as I could have, but I always felt he was superior to me because he was Founders Church minister. You know, he was the big wheel. I was just the associate editor of the Science of Mind magazine. But it was great. We had nice talks together, and we often shared many nice things. So I was very honored. I am sheer drive, self-discipline, and I achieve unimaginable goals. And I think this is something very important for all of us to consider in our lives, that we achieve unimaginable goals. We don't go into life for its goals. We go into life for its joy. We go into life for each one of the happy, harmonious, wonderful, fulfilling experiences that make us feel just fantastic. This is who we are. Are you sheer drive and self-discipline? And do you achieve unimaginable goals? Do you think Sylvia, as a youngster, dreamed that she'd be vice president of a major international corporation? Yeah? Do you think Ellen ever thought she was going to be the CEO of a corporation? My goodness sakes, much less the president and chairman of the board? Do you think that Ingeborg ever dreamed, as she was operating her various corporations in Germany and in Italy with the Japanese and so forth, you know, being their right-hand Molly, that one day she would be vice president of a major corporation. It's interesting. And have a corporation of her own, like you, Sylvia, and you, Ellen. You have your private corporations, too. And it's fantastic, you know? Now, one of the big things to do, never smile. Never snicker at what you have.
Okay.
Because tomorrow, what you have may attract a beautiful gift from someone, and it may just overwhelm you, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like our wonderful contribution that Dorothea had made to us. We never dreamed of that. We just lived our life and did what we felt was honorable and good, and shazam, there it came. And it came even after we thought all the goodies had come, which is a beautiful thing to do. But that's the unimaginable at work. Have a lovely day. Know that I see each one of you whole and perfect and being the most fantastic expression of love and peace and goodness in the entire universe. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. Thank you.